All right, let's get right into the Word of God, something that God has placed in my heart. Let's give him a good hand. Praise the Lord again. I love it. Jesus is. It wasn't like Jesus was. Jesus will be someday. Jesus is now. Amen. So praise God for that. Well, I got an exciting message that God gave me really a while ago, and it's gonna come from it's not a series, so it could be. In fact, when I come back to minister, I'll minister in a different area, a sort of a subtitle of this area, because I want to continue on. So, I really don't want to. I'm not going to try to really teach deep into this subject. My goal and the intent and the purpose of this message is just to help you to realize how important this area is, okay? And I titled this, by the leading of the Lord, The Secret Place. So we're going to talk about prayer. And sometimes you can turn people off about it. But I'm just going to show you some important things about it. And then next time we get together, which, you know, maybe on Mother's Day, I don't know, then I'll focus in on prayers that get results. Okay? But I'm not going to deal with that. So I'm going to really try to discipline myself of not trying to give you any of those areas. I just want to paint a picture by the Spirit of God of how sort of a myth that prayer is such a pain. And hopefully through this time with the Lord that's here right now to minister to us through this vessel, I just pray that you see how simple and fun it is, okay? So that's the heart that I have this morning. So let's pray and we'll get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we do come to you in prayer. And we thank you for the privilege that we can come, think about it, to the very throne room of God of heaven. We can reach heaven from earth. And we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be here to hear your word, your message. So, Father, I pray that your people will hear your voice through this word, that you will talk to them. And, Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who's here to guide us and to lead us into all truth and really our teacher. And we thank you, Father, for the word we will receive in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. Said, this is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. So we're going to talk about the secret place. And we're not going to talk about praying in the spirit. Oh, thank you. That's cute. I didn't even ask for that. I like that. Okay. And we're not going to talk about even praying in the spirit. Okay. We're just going to talk about praying in English and your private time with God. Now, Jesus had a habit of praying all the time. Okay. Most of the time. And so I'm going to give you some areas that he took the time to connect with his Father. And one of the times that he did this was before he was baptized, or during that time. The Bible says it came to pass. I'm going to just throw these things out to you. The Bible says it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed. Now, that's so important because There's another scripture in Matthew, and it doesn't say it like this, okay? But this is in Luke, and it said, while he prayed, the heavens was opened. So I submit to you that when you pray to God the Father, that heaven is open to you. And I want you to visualize that. That heaven was open, and we know that God himself, when Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit was there, so the Trinity was there, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus in form of a dove, the power of God. And then God himself said, this is my Son, and I'll paraphrase it, in whom I am well pleased. But think about it. It said that it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was open to him. And then Jesus went many times to different places. He withdrew from his disciples. And another scripture says here in Luke 5:16, I'm not really giving her the scriptures because I don't really want to put them up there, but I'll just give them to you. But he often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer, Jesus, talking about Jesus. And then the next day, Jesus, before daybreak, he went out alone to pray. So this is Luke 5:16, Mark 1:35. I'm just showing you that Jesus had a habit of praying and connecting with his Father. And then another time, and you guys may know all these places, but before he, and this was something that was in my heart, and this is when God was talking to me about this, about Jesus, before he chose his disciples, he prayed. He spent all night, and then after the next day, then he went around and he chose his disciples. And I could hear somebody saying this. I heard it when I was meditating on this. Somebody said, well, why did he choose Judas? But see, that was in God's plan. Okay? And so, and that was God's perfect plan. And we can learn a lot from Judas. And plus, God is so, he's smarter than us. That's one thing we need to settle in our hearts. He's smarter than us. And he knew that on this earth, in leadership, you're going to have a Judas once in a while. So he taught us how to deal with those kind of spirits, okay? A Judas spirit, okay? And like he's taught us how to deal with a Jezebel spirit. And so God is really smart, and he didn't make a mistake. So Jesus prayed before he chose his leadership, okay? And then the other place was when he was feeding the 5,000, Jesus prayed. Now think about this. He received the little food, the lunch from the little boy, and it wasn't enough in the eyes of his disciples. But of course, Jesus knew it was more than enough. And the Bible said that in Matthew 14:19, he said he looked up to heaven and he blessed, he broke and he gave, and it was enough. So once again, Jesus was praying. Now, he wasn't on his knees praying. He just took what wasn't enough, and he thanked the Lord for it, and it multiplied. So that's another, if we could do that, you know that? And what we should do that. See, and Jesus is showing us different times that he prayed and how he prayed and what he was praying for and how things changed. And so when you think you don't have enough, that's when you pray over what you do have.
Yeah.
And it'll multiply. It'll become enough because you're thankful for what you have. And most of the time we complain about we don't have enough. I don't have enough money to pay my bills. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough that. But if you start being thankful and say, thank you, Lord, for the money that I do have in the bank, then things will start multiplying for you. Amen. That's a principle. And if it worked for Jesus, it'll work for us. And Jesus was walking on water. How many of you remember the walking on water? Okay. Well, before he did that, he was praying. He sent the multitude away, the Bible said, and he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. That's how he was able to do that. Walk on the water. Amen. Jesus was always in connection with his Father. And then how about raising Lazarus? So he prayed to the Father before performing this miracle. And the Bible said that he told the people to take the stone away. God will always tell us to do something. So even when you pray, God, those are some marching orders. In prayer, God will show you what you need to do. He'll do the impossible things, but the possible things, God will tell you to do. He knew that they can roll the stone away. So he told them to do something to be a part of this miracle. Do you know that we are going to always have to do something to be a part of a miracle? And my husband is a walking miracle. I asked God for a miracle. So I know that God will still perform miracles. And a lot of you say, well, you know, you just don't know. I lived with him for almost 7 years when he couldn't think straight. I mean, a man with big visions, and then all of a sudden it was like the enemy tore everything out of him. His soul was gone. And standing on the word of God, so this is not theory for me. This is life for me. And I believe in miracles because God gave me a miracle more than once in my life. But I believe in miracles. And so, and I believe in walking by faith as well. So here he told the people to do something that they could do. So God will tell you what you can do. God told me many different things over that course of time with Pastor Shorter what to do. There was practical things I need to do. But I tell you one thing, I was in my secret place most of the time. And so he told the people to roll the stone away. And then he said, God, Jesus said this. He said it in front of the people so they can hear it. He said, Father, I thank you. This is in John chapter 11, 41 and 42. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Because Jesus, we think of it in making a confession, but Jesus had said that death that Lazarus was dead, he said that will be for the glory of God. He said it like this: the sickness is not unto death. Now he said that prior to him coming to the grave where Lazarus was inside. He said this, he said, when he heard about Lazarus, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Now, that was a prayer. And he had said that before he arrived at the grave. So when he arrived at the grave and told the people to roll the stone away, then he said this, Father, I thank you that you heard me. So he heard his confession, which was a prayer, that this death will be for the glory. God's going to be able to use this thing for the glory of God. And then once he came, he said, Father, I thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. See, God hears us. And he heard him, not in a formal, some on the knees type of prayer. He said, I'll say it again, you'll get it. This sickness is not unto death. Come on, how many times are we going through something? And I told my husband when he was going through this, and it was the Spirit of God working with me. I said, you will be better when you come out of this. You'll be stronger. I was speaking like Jesus. I was praying, but we call it confession, but you're really praying. And Jesus said, I declare. He didn't say declare, but he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And then he said in front of the people, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I love this part. Kia sia makia. Oh, the anointing. I don't know. The Lord said, this congregation, I don't know if they're really ready for this word. But the Lord said, and I know that you always hear me. See, and that's what we have to know as believers, that our Father in heaven, he always hears us. There's no doubt. I have no doubt now. I have no doubt. Yeah, I've grown over the years, but I have no doubt. I just know that he hears me when I pray. And that's the confidence that we should have in him. And that's what he wants to release on you today. He wants you to know that you know that you know he knows that he always hears you when you pray. Because I'm going to give you about six things of some reasons why people don't pray. I'm going to give you that in just a moment. And then, of course, when Jesus was in a garden agonizing over the crucifixion that he was soon to face, then the disciples, he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And so he told them to go away because I need to pray. And he said to his Father, Father, and he was agonizing over his death because he knew he was going to die on the cross for our sins. And he said, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. So Jesus prayed at a moment in time where it was really tough for him. He was agonizing. And he was saying, Lord, if it's some other kind of way, come on, we've all been there. I mean, we've all had questions at times and say, Lord, is there some other way, something else that can happen? And then, but because he prayed in the secret place, he went away from his disciple. So he created a secret place with him and God. And because he did, then he was able, he had the strength to say, not my will, God, but I trust you. Let your will be done because I know it's best. Yeah. Because of prayer, going to his secret place. And then on the cross, of course, he said, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried out to God once again, but then he also said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Once again, he's praying on the cross, and he's able because of that secret place on the cross. His secret place was on the cross at that time. And then he was able to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He gave up the ghost. They didn't kill Jesus. We just celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And then I'll just give you this. We won't even go over there. In John 17, verses 1 through 26, it's a wonderful prayer. Jesus prays for his disciples. He prays for the future disciples. He prays for us. It's just a wonderful, wonderful prayer. And I just love that prayer. So you might want to take note of that. Well, let me give you some stats real quick. 44 to 50% of U.S., United States of America adults pray at least once a day. Women are more likely to pray daily than men. These are just some stats. And many people pray in their cars. I thought about that. I said, just don't close your eyes. That's all I can think of. Just maybe that's why we got these crazy people, you know, closing their eyes and trying to pray. You know? But they say about like 61% of people, they pray in their car. So, I mean, it's okay to pray in your car. That could be your secret place. But I'm going to challenge you and advise you to get a secret place set aside that's other than your car, because you don't need any distractions in your secret place, okay? And it's a little tough, even though you can do it, it's a little tough to drive and pray when you got all these crazy folks on the road, right? Okay, and then those who pray spend an average of 18 minutes daily in prayer. And Jesus told his disciples when he was in the garden, he came back and rebuked them. Now think about it. I want you to think about that. Jesus rebuked his disciples because they couldn't pray long enough. So that was important to Jesus. And he said something. He said, the flesh is what? Weak. The spirit is strong. Okay? So we have to overcome our flesh if we're going to go in our secret place. Because when you go into your secret place, that's exactly what some of this distraction is, your flesh. Because for some reason, you wasn't hungry when you had that urge to go pray to your secret place. And then you get in your secret place and all of a sudden you start thinking about the pizza and the ribs and the collard greens and the cornbread. And I mean, it's amazing how when you are led by the Spirit of God, I mean, it's an unction in your spirit to go pray, and then you go to your secret place, and then you start thinking about, oh, no, yeah, I have to call so-and-so, and I have to call. I mean, it's so we must discipline ourselves enough so we can have that time with God. Say a big amen. So what are some reasons why people don't pray? I have to see the time. Okay. What are some reasons why people don't pray? They may say, I don't want to bother God. You can never bother God. Okay. I remember our pastor, he taught us very well. He said, you never can bother me. Because we would call him, say, oh, we would start apologizing. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we called you right now. We start apologizing to him. And he said, you don't have to apologize. You can't bother me. We was like, what? He said, you never can bother me. He said, because I just won't answer my phone. if I can't talk right now, I want to. So you'll never bother me. So God, you'll never bother him. These are some things I've heard before. And then you may say, I don't have time. That's a good one, right? I don't have time to exercise. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for my spouse. I don't have time. We never have time. But you know what? We need to realize that God is really his time. See, if we can understand that there's nothing we own, if we really can wrap our minds around this, we own nothing. We don't own money. We don't own our house. We don't own, and we don't own our time. Every second, the clock is ticking. And God owns that time. It's his time. And that's why we should go to him and ask him, Lord, help me to discipline the time you have given to me on this earth. Because it's his time. It's not ours. Then another area is, I don't have a need. Why pray? Yeah. I got money. I got a nice house. I got, Pastor Short was talking about that earlier. People get blessed and, you know, start using the word, and then all of a sudden, I don't need to pray anymore. I don't need to go to church anymore. What's the sense of going to church? I got everything I need. They forgot that everything that you have belongs to the Lord. And that's not the only time you should go to prayers, when you have a need. You go to prayer because it's that intimate time with the Lord. We'll get there. I want to show you something. Number four, I don't think it's necessary because God knows what I need. What I need to pray. He knows everything I need. And once again, I don't want to distract this, because some of these things goes under prayers that gets results. Prayers that get results. And I don't want to step over into that arena, because I could step over into that area right now. And when it says, I don't think it's necessary because God knows what I need, because God has to bring it from heaven to earth. And like I said, we're part of the miracle. We're part of the faith that we're believing for. Whatever we're believing for, we have to be part of it. Okay, we want God to do everything. Drop it down, God, get it done. God, get it done. But God's going to say, you get it done. You get it done. You get it done. And I'll do the things that are impossible for you. And so, So God is going to always tell us something to do. And we have to bring it from heaven to earth. So we have to pray to get it from heaven to earth. We have to pray. But see, what you're thinking of is just praying, you know, once again. And we'll talk about that on your knees. And that's a good place to pray too. But Jesus, remember, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he already had prayed when he said this death of his will be used for the glory of God. He prayed. And so we must know that we have to bring it from heaven. We'll see it. We'll see it in just a moment. So let me go a little faster. Where are we on? Number five, I don't understand how to pray, okay? So we'll talk about that a little more. And number six, I can't see God. How do I know he is listening? And it takes faith. Pastor Shorter just started a faith series. So I wanted to make sure I added this, okay? Because it takes faith when you pray, because you are praying to an unseen God. You can't see God. And so you're trusting that he's listening. You're trusting that he's hearing you. And just like I gave you that scripture about Jesus, he said, God always hears me. I love that. I love that confidence, because you should be able to say that. God always hears me when I pray. And so it's important to know that you have to use your faith and believe and trust that. And I love it in James 5:17, it said Elijah was a man. So Elijah, the old prophet, you know, and this is in the book of James 5:17. You can put that up there, 5:17, James 5:17. It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In fact, so the Bible is saying he was just a human being like us. And he prayed. I just want to point that out earnestly. It would not rain. And it did not rain. Now, he's a human being just like this. And God has it in the Bible to say Elijah was a man. Now, I remember I used this one time when we were going to a ministry, on a ministry trip. And it was pouring down rain. It was going through some mountains. And it was really, you know, I don't like to use words scary or whatever. And I didn't use it at that time, that word. But we was going through. And then this scripture came up to me. And I turned to my husband. I said, you know, Elijah was a man. And he prayed. And it did not rain. So let's pray right now for this rain to stop. Because this is a little dangerous here, okay, in these steep mountains we're going up. And so we prayed, and it stopped raining. And then because the meeting was over late at night, sort of, I think, 12? Maybe it's 12 midnight, something like that. And we had to go through that same way back home. And it wasn't raining. It was nice. And God heard us, just like when we was building this church. Come on, help me, honey. We was building this church, and we had to pour this cement. We had all the trucks lined up and everything. I mean, you know, ordered all this cement. How many trucks was it? 13 trucks? 28 trucks. It was amazing. 28 trucks lining up on this property. This was just dirt. So they had to lay the cement. And we needed to have nice weather. And so we prayed. How many of you remember that? See, these are hands. We prayed and we said, Lord, hold up the rain, because it was supposed to be rain in the forecast. We said, hold up the rain. And he did. And then Elijah prayed again and the rain came back. Praise God. See, and some of you saying, you're sitting there saying, oh, I don't believe all this. Well, don't believe it. I do. And it worked. And this is what I'm saying, that God wants you to start trusting him, and this is faith, because he always hears you when you pray. Okay, I believe more people would pray many times a day if they understood that prayer should not be a duty, not painful, but a privilege. And prayer is not hard. It's simply, and this is what something that God dropped in my heart, I want to give it to you. It's simply this, and I want to hopefully you'll write it down. It's simply this, a talk with God. A talk with God. How can the Bible says pray without ceasing? Because all you're doing is talking with God. That's how you have to see it. You have to see that you're talking with, not just to God. And that's something I want to clarify. Because many times, I wrote this in my notes, we talk to God and not with God. So it's a conversation. And we're talking with God. We get an opportunity. And that's why we can talk anytime we want to. I remember yesterday we came to the church to do some little things around the church. And I sat right back in that back seat back there. And I was looking around the church and some things came to my mind. And I just started talking to God. I said, Father, you know, we sort of need this, you know. And, you know, I was just talking to him. Because we should talk with God. And turn to Genesis. Genesis 2. This is actually my foundational scripture. Finally got to. Okay. Okay, I got 7 minutes. Okay, Genesis. This is so powerful. I done been through this scripture so many times. Heard it so many times. And God just showed me something with this. Because we're talking about prayer, the secret place. Say the secret place. The secret place. And so here in Genesis chapter number 2, I love this. This is prayer. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He died spiritually first. Then go over to chapter number 3. And then, of course, we know the enemy came and deceived Eve, and they took of the fruit. And their eyes, the Bible says, their eyes in verse 7, their eyes were open. And then verse 8, this is the key scripture. Say the secret place. And they heard the sound of the Lord, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. So it's like early evening. Get the picture. Because back then in the Middle East, you know, it really could get really hot. So in the cool of the day, this was a habit. This was all the time with Adam and Eve. This was their prayer life. And that's what I said. We're talking with God. It's just a talk with your Father. And this was a habit of theirs. They would meet God and talk to him and just walk with him and talk. It's good to go on your knees. I went on my knees this morning. But they were just walking and talking. And this was their lifestyle, to commune with God the Father. Think about it. Just talking to him. And sometimes we've gone so formal, and that's why we don't think God even cares or don't really hear us or whatever. We've gone so formal that we've missed the point of prayer. Yeah. Prayer is just talking to your Father. He just wants a relationship with us. He wants a real relationship with us. In spirit, and in truth. And he wants us to talk. And that's why I don't need a counselor, even though I've got a degree and I've been a counselor. I don't need a counselor because I got God the Father. I'm sorry to say this. I just retired from my own counseling business. I'm sorry to say this, but I counsel many people, and I would sit there and say, if you can just develop a relationship and a fellowship with God the Father, you won't have a complex problem. He'll get you out of depression. Because all you have to do is just talk to him like a friend, like he's your daddy. I thank him all the time. Sometimes, not all the time, but you know what I'm saying. I thank him a lot. I say, thank you, Lord, because, you know, I'm an adopted child. And I think I would say, thank you, Father, for fathering me. And I've heard people say to me, adopted children, they say, well, you know, how can I believe in God the Father when my father left me? And I said, well, when you get to know God the Father as a real father, then you won't have a father hunger, an earthly father hunger. He'll take it away because he becomes your father. And so I thank God, you know, a lot of times I just, you know, I'll just walk and all of a sudden in my spirit, I just say, thank you, Lord, for fathering me, for mothering me. I didn't know how to do any of this stuff. I didn't know how to be a wife. Thank you, God, for helping me to do this, to raise children that love you. Thank you, Father. Thank God for that. Amen. So they just had a relationship with God, a fellowship in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. So when you're in this fellowship with God, his presence is known among the trees. And then the Lord called out to Adam and said to him, where are you? Of course, that's a whole teaching of he wanted Adam to locate himself. But he said, where are you? Because this is not you, Adam. Where's our conversation? This is what God is saying to us. Come on, Kathy. It's time to talk. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation about this. Come on, I know this boss of yours is messing with you. Come on, let's just talk about it. Let's just say, what's your problem with that boss? Let me hear what's going on here. Well, God, you know, I know, but I want to hear you talk about it so I can talk to you, okay? We need to talk about this situation. Come on, that's what kind of relationship that God wants with us. And so God said, where are you? I want my fellowship with you, Adam. Where are you? And Adam and Eve was hiding. And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. That's what Adam said. I heard your voice in the secret place that we've had over the years. You don't know how long Adam and Eve was there in that garden before they fell. Could have been years. But I heard your voice and I was afraid. And God got upset about that. Because in that secret place, there's no fear. Say a big amen. Go to Matthew 6 and we'll close here. So we're going to go to this secret place. And that's why God put this here. And the Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse number, well, he talks about first, Jesus is talking about giving to people and said, don't do it to be seen by men, to give to the poor. Because if you do, that's your reward of people saying, oh, you're so great, you gave to the poor. And then he goes down to, well, he talks about fasting the same way, but then he goes down to prayer. And in verse number 5, I have to go quick. I got about a minute left. And when you pray, Pastor Shorter always say, when do you pray? And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, say me, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I remember I preached years ago, an open reward. So God is in the secret place. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. So God is not looking for a lot of many words. God is just looking for a conversation with him. He's looking for fellowship. And that's why he got so disappointed with Adam. He said, where are you? Hey, I'm missing my time with you. What happened? What's going on? And the Bible says, therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows, here it is, the things you have need of before you ask him, but you have to ask. It's set up that way in the kingdom of God. You have to ask. And part of asking is faith. And the Bible says you can't please God without faith. So when you're asking, the Bible says you should ask in faith. Keep reading that, James. Read that chapter I gave you, because it talks about that. But that's under prayers that get results, okay? Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Now, I'm going to read this, and I'm going to close with this, okay? So I'm going to read this very quickly, and this is just an example of a prayer. You don't have to pray this, but it's like a pattern that we should use, okay? So it says, and most of you know this prayer. It says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when we come to God, we're coming to him, honoring him as our Father. So when we pray and go to God, we're saying, Father, just like Jesus said, Father, I know you heard me when I pray. And so we go to God, we honor him as Father God. We hallow his name. We thank God for his name, for he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. So we thank him, because the Bible says you come before his presence with thanksgiving. So we don't come to God with problems. We come with thanksgiving first, because that's an act of faith. And without faith, you can't please God. So it's an act of faith to praise God and thank him for a new day, even though you may have all these problems, all these situations that's caving in on you. But we go to God in faith and we say, thank you, Lord, for a brand new day, for this is a day that you've made. And guess what? I choose to rejoice in this day, even though I got a heavy load on me. I'm choosing in faith that this is the day that you've made, and I will rejoice. And the Bible says, come before him with thanksgiving, and you get into the presence of God. And then it says, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you say, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, your will be done in my life on this earth in Jesus' name. So you take ownership that the kingdom of God, the Bible says the kingdom of God is what? Joy, peace, righteousness. So you're saying, Lord Jesus, I thank you that the joy of the Lord, Father, as your will be done in heaven, let that joy come and overflow my life right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that depression is leaving me in the name of Jesus, because your kingdom come, your will be done in my life in Jesus' name on earth. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm on earth. Uh-huh. Let your will be done on earth. Yeah. Let your will be done on earth. Let your will, that's good, be done. Not the will of man. Not my will. But let your will be done in my life on earth. That's trusting God. Amen? Because he only has good stuff for you. So I want his will to be done. I want his perfect will to be done in my life, because I know he knows what's best for me. And it says, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Thank you, Lord, every day you're providing for me. Thank you, Lord, that provision is there for me. In the name of Jesus, I have more than enough. I thank you, Lord, for every day, Father, for this day, for provision for this day. I give you glory, God, in Jesus' name. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I forgive those who's hurt me. I forgive those that mistreat me in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that my debts, and you can use it for your financial debt. Pastor Short already declared this year that we are debt free, and we need to cancel debt. I think he said cancel debt, right? Do you guys remember that? He says speak cancel debt over your life. So this could be sin debts, financial debts in Jesus' name, and debts that you owe to other people, Lord, forgive them. And then it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're delivering us from the evil one. And we thank you for your word that you said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue, every evil tongue that rise up against me in judgment, I call those words condemned in the name of Jesus. In fact, I send them back to sender. Whoever send them out towards me, I send them back in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that you're keeping me from the evil one. Come on, let's stand up. That's all I have for this morning. Praise God. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Thank God.
For yours is the kingdom, the king that rules, and the power and the glory forever, God.
We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I want you to make this confession from your heart. Say, Lord, I thank you that you have made a way for me to have fellowship with you. I ask you to help me, to show me your presence in that relationship. Let me sense your presence, Father, in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for all that you've done for me, all the good things, all the things, God, that you brought me through. I give you the glory. I thank you, Father God. You've been good to me. Help me to know you as Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. Praise God. I got one more thing for you. Every one of you need to go home and you need to designate a secret place. Yeah, you can pray in your car. You can pray in your kitchen. But you should designate a place that's considered your secret place. Now, you can have more than one places, but it should be a place that you go and spend intimate time with God and just talk to him. Say, Lord, you know, I don't feel good today. You know, I don't know what's going on. Last night I had angst in my body. I said, Lord, what is it? What's going on here? You know, I mean, I just was talking to him while I was, you know, stretching. I wasn't exercising, but I just said, Lord, put my heart stretch. So I started stretching. and said, what's going on with this? You know, talk to your Father. He's ready for you to talk to him. I hope this word has been precious to you. Father, in Jesus' name, I seal this time. Holy Spirit, continue to teach us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for it.